From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. Juneau's Board of Education has approved new oral narrative standards for its Tlingit Culture, Language, and Literacy program. As KTOO's Bridget Dowd reports, these are the first oral narrative standards to be developed for Tlingit language to be taught to school children.
The literacy program is available to kindergartners through fifth graders in the Juneau School District. It requires an application and acceptance through a lottery process. The school district has been working with community partners like Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, the Douglas Indian Association, and Gold Belt Heritage Foundation to foster the revitalization of Tlingit language. Before the school board's vote last week, JSD Director of Teaching and Learning Support, Ted Wilson, said the new standards were an important step in a long journey.
We also have representatives from the preschool and from UAS so that we can talk about what curriculum looks like all the way through from when you're tiny until you are in college.
Wilson says they'd like to see the program expand to other grade levels, but aren't sure when that would be possible, considering they'd need to develop a number of fluent speakers who can teach it in order to do that. The final reading of the standards during the school board meeting prompted several emotional responses from the public and new board member Amber Fromhurst.
I'm Danae from Arizona, and this is a gift that you are presenting to probably many of families who are not able to share it as much as we want to. I would love to teach my own children our language, but I was not taught my language.
Paul Marks also spoke at the meeting, thanking the board first in Tlingit.
I just want to say thank you to all those that are working towards a standard of our people to be taught to our children. Our elders were the ones who taught us, and they taught us so that we would teach our children.
The district and its partners are working on developing a reading and writing curriculum for the program. In Juneau, I'm Bridget Dowd.
A new airline that's announced new flights between Unalaska and Anchorage has delayed its launch until next spring, saying it's studying safety recommendations made in the wake of a fatal 2019 crash at Dutch Harbor. Aleutian Airways had said this summer it would fly nonstop between Alaska's largest city and Unalaska as early as the fall. The airline is a partnership between Juneau-based Alaska Seaplanes, Florida-based Sterling Airways, and two venture capital firms. Aleutian Airways co-owner Kent Crayford says the new carrier won't be flying to and from Dutch Harbor until around March of 2022 at the earliest. That's to give the carrier time to study the National Transportation Safety Board's recommendations stemming from the Pan Air crash involving a Saab 2000.
We decided that proactively we're going to be putting in place some additional safety mitigations just to further improve our operating margins on Alaska.
The NTSB blamed the fatal October 2019 crash that killed one person on a mix of faulty wiring, lax oversight by aviation regulators, and inexperienced crew. Even though Aleutian Airways plans to fly the same model of turboprop aircraft, Crayford said he's confident it can be done safely.
There's processes that take place in the pilot's decision-making that, we just want to take a look at and further tighten up. There's decisions about where on the runway to land, the go, no-go decision points, as they say.
Currently, nonstop air service is offered between Unalaska and Anchorage by Raven Alaska. There are also charters. But the delay in adding a second scheduled carrier to connect the community has worried city leaders. Unalaska Vice Mayor Dennis Robinson said last week that he's worried that limited options could impact the island's commercial fishing industry.
It's going to create a bottleneck in this community.
Aleutian Airways will begin offering some services soon. It plans to roll out charters in southwest Alaska that would connect Cold Bay and Sam Point with Anchorage later this month. A fast-growing area north of Anchorage, known as a hotbed of conservatism, has gained the most population since the 2010 census, and it will keep the same number of seats in the Alaska legislature under a new map of state political boundaries that critics say shortchanges the area. It's not the only criticism of the plan approved by a divided state redistricting board, and court challenges are expected. Under the redistricting board's approach, 59 of the legislature's 60 seats will be on the ballot next year. Some legislators say it's hard to predict what impact the new maps may have, given that litigation is possible. Alaska Congressman Don Young named two veteran political consultants to his campaign team Monday, dispelling rumors that the 88-year-old would step aside in favor of a like-minded younger candidate. Young was one of only 13 House Republicans to vote for a trillion-dollar infrastructure bill in early November. Ignoring those calling him a traitor to the party for helping Democrats, Young was at the White House Monday for an outdoor signing ceremony. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports.
Young ribbed President Biden for being long-winded on a gusty day. He said he nearly froze to death.
We were wondering when you were going to stop for a moment and have your throat cut.
I tell you what, I know what you mean.
Young wore a dark overcoat and leaned on a cane. Someday, he says, he'll decide not to run, or God will decide that for him.
We don't live forever, but right now, I want to be in the majority again. I want to be able to do the job as I've done in the past, as I'm doing going to continue to do, and I'm excited about it.
Young named political consultant Art Hackney and communications professional Matt Shukro as campaign advisors. State Senator Josh Rivak is his campaign chairman. Alaska Republicans sometimes suggest Rivak would be a likely successor to Young, so having him on the Young reelection team quells rumors. Young says he has some back pain, hence the cane, and in the halls of the Capitol, he's been relying on a wheelchair lately.
On occasion, yes, because long distances, it does hurt. And, you know, I really get anybody say anything about that. I mean, are they really disrespecting the less fortunate or the handicapped?
More than most Republicans, Young has availed himself of proxy voting, a pandemic rule that allows another member of Congress to cast his vote. Young's done that on 14 days this year. Challenger Nicholas Begich III calls that surprising, since Young called the rule flagrantly unconstitutional when Democrats adopted it. Young says it's been useful when he's in Alaska, and he says he uses it more than others because his district is so far from the Capitol. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Yakutat's Village Corporation has postponed its annual board election while it confers with its attorneys over what it says are, quote, false accusations over its logging operations. Yakutat Quan Inc. has been criticized by some tribal and city leaders who believe that the corporation's clear cuts threaten salmon streams and cultural sites. Yakutat Quan denies this. The Village Corporation was created in the 1970s by the landmark Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, or ANCSA, and granted more than 20,000 acres to benefit shareholders with ties to the traditional Yakutat Village. Its annual meeting was planned for this Saturday. But in an unsigned November 12th letter to the corporation's few hundred shareholders, management says the election could be tainted by what it calls, quote, unfair attacks being leveled against Yakutat Quan. The CEO of Yakutat Timber, the logging subsidiary of the corporation, declined to comment. The shareholder meeting has been pushed back until January 8th of 2022. Its last annual shareholder meeting was January 30th of 2021. State law requires an ANCSA corporation to hold a shareholder meeting and re-elect its board of directors at least once a year. And Petersburg's latest outbreak of COVID-19 is its worst since the start of the pandemic. It's caused staffing shortages at the local schools, hospital, and multiple borough departments this month. Students at one elementary school are switching to remote online learning for the rest of this week after COVID cases impacted staff. The school district says multiple staffing issues will require the remote learning in the lower grades, but for the moment, classes remain in person for middle and high schools. Petersburg students who are traveling for activities are being tested before and after travel, and the schools are also making optional antigen screening tests available to students, staff, and their families to take home. It's the second spell of online learning for the Petersburg district this year. Students in the upper grades went to remote learning for a short time at the end of September. On Monday, the Petersburg Medical Center said the spread of the virus is not decreasing and asks residents to follow mitigation measures. The hospital remains in red status and is also experiencing staffing shortages. Some appointments may have to be rescheduled. The Petersburg Borough Mayor is reporting to the Assembly this week that multiple borough departments are short of workers because of the outbreak, including the police department, dispatchers, public works, motor pool, and parks and recreation. Borough buildings have been mostly closed to the public since November 3rd. Other southeast communities are also seeing spikes with COVID numbers up in both Wrangell and Ketchikan. A federal judge has blocked the U.S. Treasury from enforcing a provision of the American Rescue Plan that prohibits states from using pandemic relief funds to offset new tax cuts. U.S. District Judge L. Scott Kugler ruled Monday that Congress exceeded its power under the Constitution in putting the so-called tax mandates on states. 13 states had filed a lawsuit in federal court in Alabama challenging that provision of the pandemic relief package. This is KTOO News.